wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Half-Blood Prince with
Michael Damaro,
Sarah Tompkins,
and I'm Vijaya Shrestha. This week, we talk about Chapter 21, The Unknowable Room. I tell you more about Rappaport's Law and the Quizzitch Cup. Continue.
Oh, I get to choose again because I'm mad.
Yeah, Chernobyl.
Yeah. Radioact. Don't tell the Soviet government because they'll cover it up. People 200.
What is happening?
Okay. Sarah's people, losing I'm wearing very hot shoes. People 200.
Okay. Which Hogwarts student becomes cursed by an enchanted necklace? Ah! Oh. Ooh. I don't know. I need help on that.
I think it's Kay Johnson. Kay Johnson?
No!
Can you get a redo?
No! What? She gave the answer!
No, give it.
Katie Bell.
Yeah.
I said Katie Johnson and then I said Katie Bell afterwards.
You did, yeah.
But you already gave the answer.
I love this. The delicate.
No surrender. We're sleeping in the same room tonight. Sleep with your eyes open.
I will just sleep with a knife.
Well, we're going to have Nika with her wig on. Which I'm sleeping with.
Yeah, we have two
Nika's, Nika's my bedmate. Nika.
Shut up.
We are being threatened.
We have to protect ourselves.
Oh, okay. I don't want to keep choosing.
You can do it. You were close that time.
Objet, en fait, please.
What?
Objects for 200, please.
For 200. You're fancier than me.
That's because you went to Paris once.
That's
because
I keep losing.
What magical object does Draco Malfoy use to let the Death Eaters into Hogwarts?
Ding-ding.
Sir.
Cabinet.
More specific.
Can you be more specific?
The Vanishing Cabinet.
Yes. All right. Nice work.
You said what object. I didn't realize you had named it.
Yeah, she does the. Yeah, she always does the Vanishing Cabinet, so I figured.
Chapter 21, The Noble Room. Harry doesn't know how he's gonna get the memory from Slughorn, okay? You guys, he just doesn't know.
Stop asking him, okay?
He doesn't know, and he doesn't know how to find out. So the only thing that he can do, because he's so frustrated and anxious, is that he keeps looking through the Half-Blood Prince's book. Like, the answer is in there. And Hermione's like, look, the answer's not going to be in there. And Harry's like, well, you know what? If it hadn't been for this fucking book, Ron would have been dead. And Hermione says, well, if you had paid attention to Snape's class our first fucking year, you would have known what a bazaar was.
Gotcha there.
Got him. Harry does find a new spell scrawled on a side of a page. It's called Sectum Sempra. I don't know what that is.
Sounds fun.
It says it's for quote-unquote enemies. And he's like, oh man, I can't wait to try it, but I don't want to try it in front of Hermione, so I'll just wait. All right, dude. Apparition test is on April 21st, so people who are going to be 17 and above by then will get to take it then. And they can also sign up for additional classes in Hogsmeade, which means Hermione and Ron... Harry's birthday is later than April 21st. Ron is panicking because he has not been successful even once. Harry has done it once and Hermione has done it twice. But, and apparently, so they're like talking about it and they have like a lot of homework to do because Ron has been so stressed about things. He has been, he's late on finishing his defense against the Dark Wart. Dark Arts homework. And he's like, wait, how do you spell this thing? And Hermione checks his homework and she's like, I think the charm on your quill from Wizard Weasley's spell check quill is wearing off, which apparently charms can wear off because it gives us the beautiful runal Wazlib as Ronald's
Just name. Like Fimbledorm.
Fimbledorm. And what was the other one?
Rumbledorm.
Also, Ron really doesn't want to be with Lavender anymore, but really doesn't know how to break up with her. And Harry's like, just break up with her. And Ron's like, yeah, you never had to break up with Cho because it just kind of fizzled out. This is harder.
Just kiss her and cry.
You're so lucky.
Yeah, he kind of was lucky. Because he's like, I keep trying to tell her and she just keeps gripping harder. Oh. Creature and Dobby show up to give their report on Malfoy. And Hermione is like, what is this about? And Harry says, well, I've kind of been having them tail Malfoy. And Dobby's like, I haven't slept for a week. We've been going day and night. And Harry's like, you can totally sleep. It's fine. You can sleep. But Dobby still has issues talking, like speaking badly about the Malfoys, which kind of Harry helps him with. Creature is just like, Mr. Malfoy or Lord,
Master.
Whatever. Master. Yeah, that's what it is. Master Malfoy goes to the Great Hall. He eats breakfast with his great friends from Slytherin. And Dumbledore. Dobby is like, no, he's a very bad person. He's very bad and he does bad things. So Dobby tells Harry that Draco has been going to the seventh floor with a variety of students. And it finally hits Harry that Draco has been going to the Room of Requirement.
How did you not figure this out?
Oh my god.
That's why he has never shown up on the Marauder's map, because the Room of Requirement is not on it, which I don't understand. He's never thought about before.
Even looking at it.
Anyway, Harry thinks that he will be able to catch Malfoy in the room, like Malfoy caught them in the room when the DA was doing their thing, but Hermione's like, no, because Malfoy knew exactly what to think about when, like, pacing around the room for the door to appear, because Marietta snitched on them. But Harry doesn't know what to think of for the door to appear. And Hermione's like, although it's really weird, the variety of students, because, one, she doesn't think that Draco has that many friends, and two, he doesn't think that Draco would entrust that many people with his whatever he's doing. And Harry's like, oh my god, another brain explosion! What if he stole Polyjuice potion from Slughorn class, and the variety of students is just Crabbe and Goyle? Because remember when I think it was Crabbe and him that were arguing during the apparition class, and they're like, Malfoy's like, just do what I tell you to. And Hermione's like, oh my god, the girl who dropped her scales, was that Crabbe or Goyle? And I repaired her scales for her, and they were just trying to warn Draco, and they're like, yes! This makes sense!
I forgot to put that because it didn't seem important at the time because I totally forgot, but in my chapter, there was a girl they run into in the hallway, and she drops her scales.
Yep.
That happened a couple chapters ago, guys. Sorry. But isn't that so sad? It was last chapter.
Yeah.
Isn't it so sad? That's kind of like when people send like flowers to themselves from different people, you know, like in high school. And that's what it feels like. I'm kind of sad for Draco, even though he is pretty much a murderer. But still, I feel a little bit bad for him in this moment. He doesn't have enough friends.
A little bit. Not a lot.
So at this moment, Hermione's like, I'm going to go to bed, but you need to remember that you need to be concentrating on Slughorn and not Malfoy. And guess what Harry does? He concentrates on Slughorn. I'm just joking.
He does?
No, he concentrates on Malfoy. He does not.
Really?
He does not get good sleep all night. He's like, what is he doing? Who is he? Who is in there with him? What does he want to do? And he just like has crazy dreams and he just like goes in and out of sleep and he's very tired in the morning.
That's what I identify with that so hard though.
Yeah, that's fair.
So he is going to hang out outside of the room of requirement where he thinks the room of requirement is. Well, he should know where it is. And Hermione's like at breakfast and he's like, you really need to not do that. You need to be persuading Slughorn instead because he has a free hour class. And then they also find out that Mundungus Fletcher has been arrested and sent to Azkaban for impersonating an Inferi during a burglary.
How can you impersonate an Inferi?
I guess he did it very badly because he got arrested.
I was like, dress up like a zombie, essentially? Okay.
Hey, he went to a Halloween store. Harry goes to the 7th floor and walks around outside the room thinking different things like, I need to see what Malfoy is doing in here. And I need to see the place where Malfoy keeps going, coming secretly. And I need you to become the place you become for Draco Malfoy. But nothing happens. And he's very frustrated. He just goes to his next class, which is Defense Against the Dark Arts. He's kind of late, but not really that late. But he still gets 10 points dog from Gryffindor. Seamus asks Snape to explain the difference between Inferius and a ghost. And Harry's kind of like talking about what was happening. So Snape is like, oh, but Harry has a lot to say. So let's find out from Harry. And he's like, Harry's like, ghosts are transparent. And Snape's like, obvious answer. If you've ever seen a ghost. And then Harry says,
I mean, that's fair, though.
Yeah. And then Harry says, but Inferi are whole cursed bodies, so they're not transparent. And Snape is like, oh my god, a 6-year-old could give this answer. An Inferi is a dead body reanimated by a dark wizard spell, but ghosts are departed souls, so they're transparent. But Ron is like, well, yes, that is fine, but if I saw one or the other in a fucking alleyway, I'm not gonna be like, are you a departed soul or a reanimated body? Which is true, Ron.
That's fair.
I get it.
And also,
he's got him there.
Also, yeah. If I saw a zombie versus a ghost, even though I think ghost movies are scarier and I enjoy them more, I would think a zombie is probably more dangerous and I would run from that because it's corporeal.
But guess what? His sass costs him 10 more points. What cost Gryffindor 10 more points, I guess.
Yeah, but that's worth it.
So, and Snape kind of does a really mean thing here. He's like,
What?
That's
not Snape.
Not Snape.
He says,
he's an angel.
He says something like, with a body like Ron's, it's no wonder he can't even apparate like 10 feet or something like that. Or
wow.
A soul like Ron's. It's very mean. Because Ron has not been able to do it. So after class, Ron is like all upset. He's like, maybe he's right, blah, blah. And Harry's like, well, you know, you can take those extra classes at Hogsmeade. You'll probably get better. So they had ducked into the boys' bathroom because Lavender was annoying Ron. Where Moaning Myrtle shows up. And Myrtle's like, oh, you're not him. And they're like, who the fuck are you trying to see? So it's apparently someone who has promised to come visit her again. Just like Harry promised her, and he never did, and she thought he liked her. He's someone sensitive who isn't afraid of showing his feelings and crying in front of her. So Ron is like, a boy is crying in front of you, which is kind of rude. Boys can cry too.
Yeah, toxic masculinity is real. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with crying.
Don't cry, boys.
Michael!
Unless you're a coward.
Don't worry,
I'm currently
Michael cries
punching
at the end of every episode, but Mitch just is nice and edits it out.
That is true, actually.
So anyway, so she's just like, Ron makes fun of her a lot about, like, oh, where does he meet you in the S-Men? And you just both get flushed out into the Great Lake and stuff.
That's so mean.
That actually, yeah, it is mean, but it, like, lifts his spirit. And he's like, yeah, maybe I will take those lessons and not get better. It'll be fine. So during the next weekend, Hermione and Ron go off to Hogsmeade for the extra lessons. And Hermione's like, listen, go fucking talk to Slughorn. So guess what he does?
What?
Follows Malfoy. He goes to look at the Room of Requirement instead, because that's what Harry does.
What a dumbo.
Because
you imagine,
like,
how different these books would be if Hermione was the chosen one?
That's true. Because he's like, he doesn't even want to talk to me. I can't go. So anyway, so he looks at the Marauder's map before he goes up.
Mop.
The Marauder's yeah, mop.
That's when you mop the floor and
it
you find the
and
map.
Like, it shows you the Marauder's mop. When you mop, it shows footprints of who's been there.
But you have to keep mopping to follow it.
You have to
it.
Keep mopping. It's a pain in the ass. Thank God they like but improved on the model and made a map instead of a mop.
But a great cleaning instrument.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The halls were sparkling.
So he looks at the map and he's like, all right, who's where? And he sees Goyle is outside on the 7th floor by himself. So he
What's he doing?
He's jacking off. He, because most of the castle is like kind of empty because it's Hogsmeade and stuff.
Wait, so he's jacking off because the castle's empty?
He is jacking off by himself on the 7th floor. So he puts on his invisibility cloak.
Invisalign.
Goes upstairs. Invisalign cloak. Goes up to where he is. This is really creepy because Goyle is outside by himself. I know that Harry knows that it's Goyle dressed up or Polyjuice as a little girl, but Harry creeps up behind him in his under, like, while he's invisible, and he goes, hello, you're very pretty, aren't you? Which
no,
leads Goyle
Harry,
to
no.
It's pretty funny.
It is funny, it is, but it's also very creepy.
It would be if it wasn't actually, if he did have the Marauder's map and he was just guessing that it was Goyle, it'd be a lot creepier.
Well, yeah, that would be terrible.
That'd be a lot creepier.
So Goyle screams, throws the scales in the air because he's still holding the scales that Hermione fixed for him, and then sprints off. So now Draco is trapped in the room, which Harry thinks is hilarious, but not for long because he is still standing outside of the Room of Requirement where the door should be for like half an hour or something, and the door has not opened, and he cannot get in there because he doesn't know how to get in there. So he gets so annoyed that the only thing to do is kick the wall.
Obviously.
And while he's hopping around holding his foot, he runs into Tonks.
What? Mm-hmm. What's she doing there?
She's there to see Dumbledore. And apparently she looks terrible. She is skinnier. Her hair is still terrible.
Pretty judgy.
She came there to see Dumbledore because she heard of rumors of people getting hurt. But Dumbledore is not at Hogwarts. He's away. She asks Harry if he has gotten mail from anyone in the order. But Harry's like, no one has written to him, not since Sirius. And as soon as he says not since Sirius, he sees her eyes kind of like fill up with tears. Our eyes tear up. And he's like, I also miss him. But she's like, what? I have to go. So she just like acts like she doesn't hear him. And she leaves. And then she goes.
I mean, in fairness, would you listen to that kid?
Wouldn't you? So he's like, all right, that was weird. So he goes down to the Great Hall where Hermione and Ron are back. They're having an early lunch. And he tells them about what happened with Tonks. Ron has finally apparated, even though it was not to the right place. And Hermione was, of course, perfect, and Twycross, the apparition professor or teacher, is in love with her, and he's going to propose anytime, according to Ron. Harry's theory is that Tonks may have been in love with Sirius, and Ron makes a quip about women being really emotional, to which Hermione is like,
I'm gonna punch you in the face.
No, she says, it wasn't a woman who got upset because Madame Rosmerta didn't laugh at their joke about the hat, the healer, and the Mimbulus Mimbletonia. And then she drops the mic. And then she leaves.
Oh, anyway. Wouldn't that be great if she just, like, magically conjured a mic and was like, burr.
That would have been good.
That's the first thing I would learn how to do.
The new things were the Sectum Sempra spell, even though we don't technically know what it does.
It's for your enemies.
It's for your enemies, but does it tickle them? Or does it...
Probably. Make their toenails grow or whatever.
Make you have diarrhea. We don't know.
Could be.
Questions. Is it a responsible thing to do to just try new spells haphazardly without knowing what it does? I think we've talked about this before, but I just wanted to bring it up again.
I'm going to go on the record and say no.
No.
Because it literally... He literally doesn't know what it does, and he's like, I can't wait to try it out. But the only reason he doesn't do it is because Hermione does not like the Half-Blood Prince book. Not because he's doing it to spite it, it would be irresponsible. Yeah.
If a stranger offered you a strange liquid.
I mean, but, you know, also scientifically speaking, you've got to test these things, right? Like, you got to know what it does.
Well, I guess that's also how survival of the fittest works. So, if you want to be the dead finch, you just go ahead and do that.
Also, I guess, aren't Sirius and Tonks cousins?
They are.
How distantly, in Wizarding World.
But I was going to say, how distantly are they cousins?
I mean, I think Tonks' mom is related pretty closely to Sirius.
They might be like second cousins, right? Because Sirius's mom is not directly related to Bellatrix or Narcissa, right? Like, he's cousins. So Snape is cousins with Bellatrix and Narcissa. But so I think they're mutual cousins. So I think they're like second cousins. It's still closer than I would, or second or third cousins, actually, because the second cousin, I think, is technically your cousin's kids. So like, it'd be a third cousin. So it'd be like a second cousin once removed, I think.
Okay, hold on. They all one.
My guess is second cousin once removed.
They are all up three tiers. So they all share a...
Great-grandparent,
yep.
Yeah, so I think it's a second cousin once removed. That is my theory.
So still not great, right?
It's not what I would want, because I know my second cousins once removed. We grew up with them, and it's just too close for comfort. But it's less close than a lot of pure blood people and Victorian people.
1,000%.
The royal family.
They're freaky.
1,000%. They're freaky.
They are.
These wizards, they'll do anything.
Love is love. These wizards.
Oh no, let's not do that.
You're the one who likes Game of Thrones, not me.
Just gotcha there.
Michael loves Game of Thrones more than me.
Nuh-uh, I hate it.
You're the ones who love Game of Thrones.
He's the one that has a tattoo of Game of Thrones, not me.
No, that's untrue. That's Vijaya.
I'm not the one that has a podcast about Game of Thrones. Or had.
Neither am I. Mine's over.
Let's be honest. Sarah loves Game of Thrones more than anyone else.
I do. Tiny Tim is my favorite character.
Tiny Tim.
Sarah would, except she's a coward.
I've watched a couple seasons.
Really?
Yeah, I watched first, second, half of third, then the last two seasons. I didn't watch any of the in-between seasons.
Mix.
It was not my favorite show, but I also couldn't tell anybody apart, and I also didn't care about the politics. which is what the whole show is. So I was kind of like, when are we going to get into like the personal stuff again?
It gets there.
It doesn't.
And yeah, then it gets then bad.
The last season was not good.
Wow. But anyway, this is not the Game of Thrones podcast.
No, because hey, I would be totally I'd be totally unqualified to give real Game of Thrones opinions.
I really want to tell you about the drama that led to the segregation between the Nomads and the American wizarding world. So let's go there.
Let's do that.
Okay, I've been telling you this. Jesus. Yo. In the 1790, in 1790, the 15th resident of Makusha, Emily Rappaport, instituted a law designed to create a total segregation between the wizarding and the nomad community. Do you want to know how it came about? Because I'm about to tell you. It
sounds
crazy.
Like something would happen in America.
It's crazy. Well, the situation involved the daughter of Rappaport's trusted keeper of treasure and Dragots, which the Dragot is the American wizarding currency.
What?
And the keeper of Dragots, as the title implies, is like the Secretary of Treasury. Keeper of Dragots. Okay. Why are we calling it Dragot? Whatever. Aristotle, 12 trees, was a smart man, but his daughter, Dorcas.
Dorcas?
That's a very common name back then.
Yeah, she was very pretty, but she was also not very smart.
She was not what?
Smart? Not smart, yeah. Oh. She was, she had been a poor student at Ilvermorny, and then while her dad was like, climbing the
ladder.
Yeah. Well, political, social, professional ladder. She was just not like doing great. She wasn't like doing great magic, and she was just mainly focused on clothing and blah, 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 which is not bad if you succeed at that. Whatever. But anyway, at a local picnic one day, Dorcas, stop. giggling at that. She just fucking fell for this dude. He was a handsome nomad named Bartholomew
Nimrod.
Barebone.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Bartholomew Barebone. Bartholomew Barebone!
Well, I mean, if he's exposing it all, maybe she just was like, okay, let's go.
I see what you're giving, and I like it. She didn't know that he was a Scourer descendant. We learned what Scourer was from our last episode.
A witch denier. A witch turner inner.
Yes, a witch turner inner. Nobody was in his family was of magic, like, as he knew existed, but his belief in magic was profound and unshakable, and he knew that all witches and wizards were evil.
Wow.
So Dorcas was like, yeah, like I, Bartholomew was like, yeah, I really like your little tricks and stuff. Let me see more. And then she was just like, yeah, he likes me. She told him a bunch of the secrets from Makusha in Ilvermorny. And information about the International Confederation of Wizards and blah, blah, blah. And after all the information that he found from Dorcas, he just stole the wand that he had kind of let him use and gathered in, like, together armed friends and led a party to go persecute and kill witches and wizards in the vicinity.
With a wand?
No, he stole her wand, and then he just like led an army, not army, like a group to a try to go witches and one. Yeah, a mob.
Got it.
I think he probably stole her wand to, so she couldn't use it. And then he like printed out leaflets about where witches and wizards congregated and sent the letters to prominent nomadges, blah, blah. He was so excited about this. But he was so excited, too excited to like actually maybe figure out if he was right in what group he was confronting, because what group he thought was the Makusha wizards turned out to be nomadges. Even though nobody was killed, Bartholomew was arrested and imprisoned for the crime without any need of Makusha involvement. But this was a great relief to Makusha, who was already struggling from like trying to figure out what Dorcas is.
So they arrested him for trying to go after them, even though he really went after nomadges?
No, so he was trying to go after them, but yeah, he ended up shooting at nomadges.
Right, but then who arrested him?
So, like, regular police.
Oh, police officers, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
It would be, at like, a group now.
You were implying, the way you said it made it sound like, to me, it sounded like Makusha or whatever. Is it Makusha?
Makusha.
Okay, I keep thinking of Yakuza. I think you think of Yakuza,
which like is the Japanese
mafia. Yeah, I keep thinking of that.
No, I see what you're saying. So I was saying that he got arrested without Makusha having to arrest him because they were already having other problems with like trying to deal with Dorcas and her bullshit.
Still funny.
She's just a simple. She's just a simple, simple, simple girl.
She's just a small town girl.
She's just a Dorcas
in a Makusha world. Bartholomew had already disseminated his leaflets everywhere, and with pictures with Dorcas's wand. Oh my god! And there were pictures of like Makusha's building. So President Rappaport was forced to tell the International Confederation of Wizards at a public inquiry that she could not be sure that every last person privy to Dorcas's information was obliterated. They had to like change their capital from New York to Washington, New York, I think. Hold on. They had to change the capital. Dorcas indiscretions. I can't pronounce any words today. Oh, Dorcas did have to go to jail for a year.
What?
Only a year?
Only 1 year.
A whole year?
There was a campaign to have her in prison for life, but she went to jail for a year because her dad was high up. Come on, guys. We know how this works.
Makes sense.
I feel like they should like Typhoid marry her and just like, instead of putting her in jail, just like put her on an island in a house forever.
It is sad though, because she says, it says that she just spent the rest of her days in seclusion, just a mirror and her parrot as her dearest companions.
Oh, that's nice.
I mean,
That's not nice.
I don't know. It worked for Emily Dickinson.
Yeah, that is so sad.
She has a friend.
That just goes, yeah, Dorcas, you're terrible.
No, she probably tried to say something nice. Like, I love you, Dorcas.
Well, I doubt Dorcas would have said that because her name is Dorcas. So Dorcas's indiscretions led to the introduction of Rappaport's Law.
All the Dorcases listening to this are very upset with you right now. I'm sorry, Dorcas population.
I'm sorry, Dorcas. So this is the point of the whole article. Rappaport's Law enforced strict segregation between nomad and wizarding communities in North America, or maybe only in the United States of America, it doesn't say. Wizards were no longer allowed to befriend or marry nomadges.
What?
Penalty for fraternizing with nomadges were harsh. Communication with nomadges was limited to that necessary to perform daily activities. Isn't that crazy? That is crazy.
That's messed up.
I mean, it's like there were laws against people marrying black people that existed until within our lifetimes.
That would be like you all and me not being able to be friends.
Yeah, could you imagine that happening any time in the past 50 to 70 years?
No.
I hope that someday we do become friends.
Funny Michael, jokes. Sarah and I are already friends.
I know.
But you're a male, so we can't become friends with you.
Yeah, that's true.
We're ladies. That is against us, our laws. And then, so the law that they passed, this law, further entrenched the cultural difference between Europe and American wizarding community, because even though there was like a lot of tension between Muggle slash wizarding community in Europe, they still were like befriending each other and like marrying amongst each other. And they just didn't do that in America for a while. And that is very sad. And so in, yeah, it says in Europe, witches and wizards married and were friends with nomadges. In America, nomadges are increasingly regarded as enemy. In short, Rappaport's law drove the American wizarding community, already dealing with unusually suspicious nomad population, still deeper underground.
Will you give us more information later about that being, like, is it repealed or is that still a thing?
You will have to keep posted, but we're gonna do a 1920s
and onward. Okay,
and onwards, I guess.
Okay, so we'll find out more about that. It's not gonna leave us hanging. Yes,
stay tuned.
Okay,
or will it?
I want to know.
And that is my segment about Rappaport's law. That is terrible. And someday, Sarah and I will become friends with Michael. But it is not this day.
But it's not this day. Thanks, Aragorn.
Thank you. Thank you for knowing where that was from.
Nerd.
Great job, everybody. Well,
thanks. Thanks, Bungie Shasha.
You're welcome. I love you all, and I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Beat Sarah at Quidditch Cup. I don't know.
No! Do, 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 do. Hey, you guys!
What?
Hey, what? What's
Lend
the segment?
Lend me your ears. No. This is a special, special segment in which I thank my dearest, closest, most beautiful friends who are not you. How would you like to cheer for some cool people who backed us on Kickstarter?
I'd love to do that.
We love very dearly. Okay. Thank you to Jody Perel.
Yes. Woo!
Yeah.
Jan Feisler.
Yes.
Jan, I'm so sorry if you're a Jan. You could be. Okay, wait here. Ready? Ready? Jan Feisler. There you go. So you can choose which one. Choose your own adventure on that one. Alex Lyon. It could also be Alex Leon. Again, pick which one it is, but I love you no matter what, Alex. Craig Gordon.
Heck yeah.
That's pretty straightforward.
Craig, thank you for having a great name. Not that the other names weren't great, but a very solid... solid name. Kelly Beam. Thank you, Kelly. Now we have Anton Nielsen. I'm going to say Nielsen or Nielsen because it looks sort of Scandinavian. I don't know. Anton, thank you so much. Ken Bonnell or Bonnell. Ken, you got a great name. I don't know many Kens. My dad is a Ken. Every time he meets a Ken, he says, there aren't many of us in the world. Not a joke. He says that every time he meets a Ken. Troy. Troy, I don't have your last name, but thank you so much.
It's just Troy, like Cher.
You know what? It works. It works for you, Troy. You have a lot of charisma. Ashlyn, also without a last
just
name. Ashlyn.
Yeah, just Ashlyn, like Madonna.
Just, right. There you go. Ashlyn. And it has a Y, but so it works. Mm-hmm. And then Teddy Dane. Teddy!
Teddy!
Thank you so much for supporting us. You're always there for us, Teddy. Thanks, everybody on that list. And thank we you love all. You and we appreciate you.
We appreciate you very much.
And go Gryffindor. I don't know. I was going to say go Yankees, but they just lost, which is a very old joke now at this point, so it doesn't matter.
Go Cardinals. Mm. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Bye. We'll see you later.
Bye.
For joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry.
Our editor is Mitch Cahill.
Our artwork was done by Jesse Carlton, and our music was done by Sean Fagan. I know you want to help us out, so why don't you head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. And also, send us an email so we can talk to you. You can do that by emailing us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Hey, I know you all want to keep talking to us, so find us on Twitter at PotterPod.
I'm Michael, and you can find me at Thrifty Nerd.
I'm Sarah, and you can find me at Her Lady Tompkins.
And I'm Vijaya, and you can find me at Ethnic Ninja.